Layla Talu, a young mother from Sinjar, Iraq, has been betrayed by her neighbors. In desperation, she and her family fled like many other Yazidis from Mount Sinjar, but she never made it, encircled and captured by the ISIL instead. For what seemed like eternities, she was sold to different men and raped constantly. She was one of the lucky ones. Hi there, and welcome to the 9th and final episode of Season 1 of Veritas Populi. In this episode in the series on Unseen Genocides, we will be looking at the genocide of the Yazidis by the ISIL, along with state perpetrators like Turkey and Iraq, albeit at a lesser scale. We will revisit Kurdistan and detail Yazidi specifics in their history, see the atrocities committed by the ISIL and subsequently states, the sexual slavery of Yazidis, and finally, the resistance put up by the international community, one of those outstanding moments of solidarity. Now, who exactly are the Yazidis? The Yazidis are a subgroup of Kurds. However, they are often considered as a distinct ethno-religious group. They believe in a successor to one of the ancient Mesopotamian religions, which is monotheistic and yet not Islamic, unlike the Kurds who are mainly Muslim. Their religion is known as the Sharfa Deen. Under Saddam Hussein, in Iraq where they live most, they faced discrimination and genocides, the same sort as Kurds. Most Yazidis do not wish to identify as Kurds, although there have been many measures taken by Kurdish political parties to try and make them identify as them, which are heavily criticized. But despite all of this politics, the Kurds and the Yazidis still remain connected. They are often found in Turkey, Iraq, Syria, Armenia, and Georgia. Most of the persecution of the Yazidis is because of their religion and ethnicity. Their ethnicity, the Kurds, was covered in the 8th episode. Their religion, which worships the peacock angel, is often conflated with the unredeemed spirit of Satan or Lucifer by Muslims and Christians. They have often been mistreated as devil worshippers and satanic cultists due to the secrecy maintained by the Yazidis and the rules against marrying outside the religion. Information about the Yazidis is hard to get. So, they have been subject to forced conversions ever since the Ottoman Empire assimilated them. After that, the major persecution the Yazidis faced was by the ISIL, the Islamic State of Iraq in the Levant, or the Daesh. So what did the Daesh do that earned them the ire of the United Nations, European Union, and almost every other state in the world? They committed genocide. The ISIL, or the Daesh, claimed an Islamic caliphate, declaring Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi as their caliph. It is a theocratic proto-state which believed in Salafi jihadism, Wahhabism, Sunni Islamic fundamentalism, and was a modern Islamic terrorist group known for multiple war crimes and genocides. The Daesh runs on an ideology of hate and has spurred decades of violence to come. It has given heart to a movement which may as well be the apocalypse it so often talks of avoiding. On 3rd August 2014, the Daesh attacked Yazidis in Sinjar, Iraq. The Peshmerga, defense forces of the Iraqi Kurdistan, left, leaving the Yazidis without defense since they did not want to fight fellow Muslims. The Yazidis were obviously captured by the ISIL and given an option to convert or to die. Many chose to die, reminiscent of the Kurdish proverb, "Death on your feet is better than life on your knees." Hundreds of people died in every village. Jabal Sinjar, Hardan, Ramadi Jabal, Khanasur, all of these were destroyed within the first 2 days. Men were killed, women and children were buried alive, and even the Sunni Muslims, normal neighbors, have been reported to have colluded with the ISIL at certain locations. However, this is not to say that all Sunni Muslims did. In the months that followed, more than 5,000 Yazidis were killed. And their fellow Kurds did not help at all. They seem to have gone to extreme levels to convert the Yazidis, calling them infidels. In fact, the Kurdish Muftis have even sanctioned Yazidi genocide. I suppose you can call them the least wanted minority in West Asia. However, even the states don't leave them alone, since in Syria they have to flee from Turkey, which is hellbent on removing elements of their culture since it is seen as non-Muslim, as have Iraqi troops. So, things looked bad for the Yazidi. Genocidal forces have cornered them, and even those who were supposed to protect them were complicit with the genocide. This was, as the Yazidi called it, the 74th genocide of Fadman. But the most horrendous part of this genocide was not the deaths, but the sex slavery. Abu Bakr claimed that the Quran and the Hadith told that the slavery of the infidels was allowed, despite overwhelming Islamic scholarly consensus to the contrary. Yet again, sexual abuse was used as a weapon of war. However, it was more horrendous than in any other genocide I have covered. This was literally sexual slavery. Women were reduced to cattle, sold and traded after being raped constantly. Girls above the age of 8 were sold, and virgin women were sold to commanders. This was a form of institutionalized and systematic mass rape. And slaves were usually sold in slave markets, physical slave markets, or via messaging platforms such as WhatsApp, Facebook, and Telegram. In fact, the ISIL even used them as bargaining chips for younger recruits, essentially speaking that if they joined the ISIL, they would get women to rape. Human trafficking rings formed around this, and sex slaves were sold throughout the world. It is claimed that there are 4,000 or more sex slaves due to this Yazidi crisis. Women were forced to roam around physical slave markets, touched and examined by men with price tags around their necks. Let us go back to Laila. She was sold into sexual slavery after being documented by the Daesh for 8 months. She was whipped every day and given to a senior member of the ISIL, who whipped her when she refused to submit and kept raping her. Then she was sold to another man from Mosul, who raped her and sold her for a profit. And then again to a Baghdadi man, who bought her, raped her multiple times, made her abort a child, and then was again raped and whipped by another Saudi man, and again made to abort, and then again raped by a Lebanese man with the help of his Dutch wife. Finally, she was freed after negotiations with Syrian smugglers by her family. After all this, the international community could not stand witness any longer. They joined hands against the Daesh. The rest of the tale is well documented fact, one of the greatest actual triumphs of what is known as the war against terrorism. By 2017, the Daesh had started to fade away, involved in the Syrian civil war fought by the Kurds, Yazidis, Syrians, Russians, Americans, Turkish, and so many others on different sides. Yet what remains clear is that in the end, the Kurds joined hand with their brethren the Yazidis and beat the Daesh. The war is not over yet. Many sex slaves lie out there waiting to be rescued. We must remember the countless Yazidi lives which have fallen. So what can we do? We can protest, raise our voices in the favor of the Yazidis. We can resist the Daesh. In fact, even saying Daesh, which is a pejorative in Arabic, meaning the one who crushes or the one who spreads discord, is a crime punishable by the maximum extent of Daesh law. We must be ready to fight. This is where I, your host Aryan Dixit, say goodbye. Season 1 on Unseen Genocides ends here with this 9th episode. I do ardently hope that you have been enlightened by this podcast. Rest assured that there will be a season 2 in the future. Ensure that you spread the truth to the people with whom it belongs. And if you have any suggestions about our podcast, including topics for season 2, be my guest to message them at veritaswapili@yahoo.com. And, as always, remember to share this podcast with your friends and family. Until next season, this is your host at Veritas Populi, taking your leave. Thank you for listening. Definitely.